Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, September 27th, 2017. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am very good. Nice to be on the show.
It's great to have you here. Kelly Gumont, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. And yeah, I'm glad both of you are here.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, John.
So, yeah, we might as well just jump right into it. And Kelly, I'm really glad you're here today, not just because I always love getting to talk with you, because that's always just like a high point for me, but also because I think we need to talk a little bit about App Camp for Girls.
I would love to talk about App Camp for Girls. So here's the reason we're talking about it today. Aside from the fact that I'm a volunteer and I do a lot with App Camp as an organization, each year, you know, when we tell people about App Camp and what we do and how it works, one of the things that we point out is that once all of the camps are over, that we take all of the apps that were built during all of the camps and all the locations, and we put them all together and we release them on the App Store. So everyone who attended App Camp this last summer, whether they were in Portland or Chicago or Seattle or Phoenix, all of those campers are now published app developers in the iTunes App Store as of today.
That's awesome. Okay, now, before we get any deeper into this, because there's a slim possibility one or two people don't know what App Camp for Girls is, so I'm going to play straight man. Hey, okay. Kelly, App Camp for Girls, what an interesting name. What is that?
Well, App Camp is a way to help make... What we're doing is we take girls and gender nonconforming and female identified students going into grade 8 or grade 9. And they come to camp and they become part of a team. There are usually four to a team, and they build an app over the course of a week. We on the first day, they open up Xcode and start developing. We start them with a calculator. So at the end of the first day, they've built a calculator app. And then they come up with an idea for their app. They have to generate all of the artwork, all of the content, and they feed all of that into Xcode. And then when they're done, they have to pitch their app to a panel of investors at the end of the week. And it's fully functioning by the end of the week.
Okay.
And then at the end of the week, they pitch their app to a panel of investors. They have a set of slides. They walk through the slides and present. And at the end, the panel, which is all female business owners, entrepreneurs, people like that, they get to ask a few questions, like, if you had another day of development, what would you add? Or what would 2.0 of your app look like? What was the thing that surprised you? So they always have like a few questions. Nobody wins or anything, but we show them all the parts that go into an app and how you get it out there. And, you know, they have to figure out what they would charge for it or if they would give it away. And if they're giving it away, how do they make money and things like that? So we expose them to a lot of different facets of technology. And then we also take a field trip every week to a functioning software company where they can go and see what it's like in the real world.
Oh, that's really important.
To be a day-to-day developer.
I like that.
So that's always super duper fun. And so basically what we're doing is we're not trying to turn out like a ton of iOS developers, but we're trying to expose some of the other pieces, like finding out that breaking stuff is a whole job in itself, and finding out that sort of being the cheerleader for your app is a job unto itself, and that all of the artwork gets put together, you know, by a person whose whole job sometimes, you know, if you work at a larger company, there's people whose entire job is just, you know, getting all of the artwork into the places it needs to be or generating that artwork, you know, however you approach that. So we're showing them a bunch of different sides of what it's like to be in software, because being in software isn't exclusively hunched over a laptop typing mystery stuff into Xcode. So we show them a lot about that. And then it's up to them to come up with an idea and walk through. We give them a framework and it's up to them to come up with the idea and fill all of that in and then show off how it works. We just finished our fifth summer and it's been super fun so far. And it's really fun to see what sort of things they come up with for the apps that they create. So in order for us to be able to release them, they can't do like what Harry Potter character would you be, or, you know, what Disney princess would you be if you took our little quiz, or, you know, things like that. Like they can't use any of the stuff that they mostly are probably talking about, you know, like stuff in books they read or stuff in movies that they like to watch. So they have to come up with something on their own. Mm-hmm. And so one of the questions from this summer was what would happen to you if it started raining tacos?
We would dance in the street singing Glory Hallelujah.
Exactly. And then there was another one that I liked that was at one at the Portland camp this year that was about should I stay? And it gives you like all of these different like things that happen. Like you go to a family reunion and you have to figure out like when it's time for you to go. And so like by the end, it's sort of, did you survive, you know, or, you know, by picking the right time to leave. And so those are fun to walk through.
That's cool. So now there's the new app.
Yeah, they're all in the apps. Each year we've put one together. They're in the app store and it's 99 cents. And anything that we can do to sort of put the word out, it's pretty great. All of the money that we raise from the app goes back into camp so that we can have more camps and serve more kids in more locations. And it's fun to see like what they came up with and what, you know, like the artwork is always amazing to me every year because I can't draw. So I'm always fascinated by watching them. This year, we were able to get them Linnea on iPad Pros.
Oh, fun. Linnea is a really great drawing app.
Yeah.
Hey, Kelly, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is there a good way to find just those apps? I mean, do they have a section of their own or do you publish a list so people can go find them by name?
I think they're under entertainment. And if you search, but if you search App Camp, you should get them. And they each have an owl logo and the background is a different color behind the owl for each year.
Okay.
And it's super fun to see, like I said, the creativity that goes into them and to find out, you know, stuff about yourself. Like one of the quizzes we had before was what penguin are you? And we had one, I think last year about that was sort of a murder mystery. Like the police call you and tell you that your cousin has been killed. Like, what's your reaction? And then what do you do about this? And what do you do about that? And depending on your reaction, like maybe the murderer is you. And so some of them are really interesting and it's fun to figure out, like to walk through the steps and see where you end up.
That's very cool. Yeah. App Camp for Girls has a special place in my heart because the way it came into being, I just love how it happened. It sucks that it had to happen, but I'm glad that it did. And the short version is Gene McDonald had been at Worldwide Developer Conference and was a lone woman in a sea of men. Mm-hmm. And she looked around and saw that and thought, this has to end now. And that was the impetus for App Camp for Girls. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. And I love that we're 5 years into this and we get a new app on the App Store every year. And I love that the money that we spend when we buy the app, it's only a dollar each year. That money goes back to supporting App Camp for Girls.
Kelly, do you get, it's 5 years now, have you had a chance to get perhaps any alumni reports?
Well, I have a few. One thing we have is an intern program. So for each team of developers, there's four developers to a team, like I said. And then each team also has an intern, which is another, a previous camper who has come back to be an intern, isn't a day-to-day code person, but is there as a resource to help with, this is how you hook up this thing, or these are the things that we need to make sure we have done by the end of today. You know, we need to make sure all the artwork is created or all of it scanned or whatever. And they also each have a project team lead. And we have one particular camper who started, who came to camp the first year, came back as an intern when we realized that the intern program was the thing we wanted to do so that people who had come in previous years could still be involved. She came back as an intern for a couple of years and then came back again this last year as a senior. She had just graduated from high school, and she was a project team lead this year.
That's for the apps. Cool.
And it was amazing. We have another girl who came to camp the first year and came back as an intern and she joined the computer club at her high school, and they built an app so that you could like search for books in the library there at their high school, and then went on to build her own cybersecurity camp. So now she has camp because she decided that like online security was her jam. Mm-hmm. And so she has gone off into cybersecurity. She has a camp every summer. This is this year is the second year. And there were two sessions this year, and she's going to continue on to, I don't even know what, but she really likes security. And you know, that thing when like, you know, Jeff, like when you ask me about App Camp and mm-hmm. you can see my eyes light up and I'm really excited to tell you about it. That's how she feels about cybersecurity. And we helped her get there by showing her that technology is okay for girls, and you don't, you know, there are a lot of women who work in technology that aren't necessarily as visible as the men, because a lot of times, you know, like if you go to work with your dad who works someplace like that, like you see a lot of other men there and you don't necessarily see very many women. And just having the opportunity to spend that week with us, she has even said like is what helped her, because that's what helped her join the computer club. That's what helped her get interested in security. And that's what helped her ultimately end up being one of the people who got this camp together. She decided, much like App Camp, she decided it needed to happen and then found a way to make it so. And there are a number of people who have gone on to do other sorts of computer science-y sorts of things as a result. And it's been really fun to see, you know, even if it's not a very big dent, like we're making a dent.
That's awesome. And so I'm going to make sure that there's a link to this year's App Camp app in today's show notes so that everyone can go download it. And it's every year, it's just fun. I've found out what superhero I am in the past. And it's a lot of fun, and it's totally worth the 99 cents because the money goes back to support App Camp for Girls. So there's more I want to talk about. And when I say there's more I want to talk about, we're jumping into Star Trek now.
Okay.
So here is the deal. Star Trek Discovery is out now. The new Star Trek series has started, and this is the one that takes place 10 years before the original series, which was the 1966. Is that what year it really started?
66 to 68.
Wow. Holy crap. Anyhow, so that would have been Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock and Dr. McCoy without lens flare. And so now we have this new series that CBS has started, Star Trek Discovery. And I watched the first two episodes and I really enjoyed them. I thought it was a fun new series. The way it's done, it didn't even have to be a Star Trek series. It could have been just a new sci-fi series, but they put it in the Star Trek universe. And I'm not going to elaborate on that because I don't want to, I don't want to give anyone any spoilers. But here's the thing. This series is going to be available on CBS All Access only, which is a subscription service.
All at once or weekly?
Weekly.
Okay.
So it's not like Netflix where they dump an entire series at once and you can binge it and then get on with life. They're doing it like a traditional TV series. Now, if you pay, I believe it's $5 a month for mm-hmm. a subscription, you still get commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can pay $8.99 a month and get commercials free, right?
It's $9.99 a month.
Okay.
So, yeah. So basically $5 and $10. And at $10 a month, you can get commercial free. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, here's a new Star Trek series that has a lot of potential, and it's being aired through what I'll call a non-traditional delivery method. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if, despite the fact that I'm enjoying the series, if it's going to be successful because of the fact that you'll only be able to watch it through CBS All Access.
You know, I had my doubts about the carrot and the stick philosophy when this first was announced. It sounded like a bit of wishful thinking on the part of CBS that they had something that was so compelling and so powerful, people would just have to sign up. Although we don't have the ratings numbers in yet. And I don't know if they'll release how many people signed up for it just because of that show. But it does raise all sorts of interesting issues for the cord cutter. I mean, you have written about a lot, and I think I have a couple times, about the proliferation of individual apps and streaming services and subscriptions, which can start to add up to be real money before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
My plan was to subscribe to CBS All Access, and I haven't gotten around to it yet, but I will, as a sort of experiment to sort of see how it works and sort of lay the groundwork for eventual cord cutting. But, you know, right now I have DirecTV and I get an awful lot of stuff without much difficulty, with high quality video, high definition. Mm-hmm. And I get ESPN and I get NBC Sports Channel and I get all of the cable channels I'm interested in, and they're really good quality. And so when one has to kind of really sit down and think through what it is that you need to have and add it all up and see what kind of subscriptions you want to pay for. So I thought this would be a good way to sort of test it out. And you can cancel anytime, because my understanding is that you go to the CBS All Access app, download it to your Apple TV, mm-hmm. and then just say subscribe, and it's billed to your iTunes account.
Correct.
So it's really painless and you can quit anytime.
And so, and you can do a 1 week free trial, but that gets you commercials.
Yeah. Right. And just the first two episodes of Star Trek Discovery
are available right now.
Right. Right.
So
it's, you know, I've seen a lot of articles and cord cutter sites, and you and I have discussed it, and it's, there are so many individual streaming subscription services and with different plans and different ways to sign up. It really is getting kind of to be confusing and kind of messy. Mm-hmm. And in the end, whether it'll save you money or not, I don't know. I think the studios have cleverly figured things out to make sure that their revenue stays constant or increases. So if you think that you can, you know, cut the cord and start spending a lot less, you're going to miss some things. You're going to have to try to figure out what it is you're missing and how to make up for it. And by the time you're done, you might end up paying what you were paying before.
Or more.
With internet
TV. Or more.
And I was reading an article just the other day about how, you know, internet TV does have occasional issues with service reliability and compression breakups. That's not always the consistent high quality you get through coaxial cable. So,
well, the quality I get through coax is not that great now. So I get no matter what channel I'm watching, which is why I know I can't complain about it being one particular channel here in town or anything. I get glitches or I get skips.
Really?
And it happens pretty regularly. Yeah, it's not a new thing. So like, I'm with you on, here's the thing, is that I feel like everybody wants $10 a month from me. And by the time I pay for Apple Music or Spotify or Pandora or what, you know, whatever I'm paying for music, and then I pay Netflix for what I want from Netflix.
That's,
and
$10.
I pay their $10 a month. I pay HBO $15 a month. I pay CBS All Access $10 a month. Like, who's, like, I'm
and
at subscription to feed
$99 a year for Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime, right. But if I'm paying for that for shipping, you know, like at my house, the thing with Amazon Prime is the shipping. It's not the other stuff. So as a bonus, there's some music and there's some movies that I can watch there.
Really, right, Prime Video is a really nice add-on, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love it, especially when Grand Tour comes around.
It's not one that at my house, it's not the hugely important one. So it's sort of a bonus that we get that. So there's so much subscription fatigue, and we know the one from Disney's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because Disney's going to put Star Wars on streaming. They're going to go
and Marvel.
Full CBS, and they're going to go all of that Star Wars stuff that you love. We're going to put it. So here's the thing. This particularly gets under my skin for the following reason. Star Trek The Next Generation came out before there was really internet in most places, and it was sort of a word of mouth kind of thing, and it was syndicated. So I only found out about it because there happened to be a Saturday afternoon when I was home and I was channel surfing, and I went, that looks like a Star Trek uniform, and I stopped and I watched that show. And then I was interested in that show. They showed like two episodes every afternoon for a while. And so I watched the next one and I liked that one too. And so I sort of got hooked on this show because I randomly fell across it. And I'm going to not have any of that with these streaming things, because I'm not going to be able to channel surf from CBS to NBC to Fox to FX to AMC and go, well, what is this show about Don Draper? Doesn't that look interesting? Like, that's never going to happen with these services. So what I'm sort of wondering about is how this is a valid revenue model if there's not really an effective way for them to tell me about a new show, except if I were a person paying $5 a month or $6 a month for all access. And so all of the commercials are for the new thing that they want to sell me.
But it's a flaw in your logic, Kelly.
Which is what?
Well, if you surf around the channels.
That I'm applying logic to TV?
The chances are 33% almost that you will run into a commercial instead of the content that you thought you were going to get. And two, if you do discover something by accident, you're going to be subjected to 21 minutes of commercials per hour, which is kind of painful. And I think a lot of people, you know, figure out what they want to watch, record it, and come back to it in the library of shows and skip over the commercials. I would guess that there aren't that many people who channel surf, find something they think is interesting, and endure 21 minutes of break per hour. I don't know.
I mean, I'm
one of the advantages how many people do, actually.
Yeah, a lot of people do. And one of the advantages to now is that I can see what that show is. So before, like when I was channel surfing and found Next Generation, when I found it, there wasn't like an info screen like there is now, you know, with cable and your cable box and the little thing at the bottom and the guide button and all of that, that tells you like, this is Star Trek The Next Generation. And, you know, because it's Wednesday, you know, I can go look on BBC America and they will be showing Star Trek The Next Generation. And I can go to the guide and I can see they are literally showing it all day long. Okay. I didn't have that option at the time. So I sort of had to figure out for myself what it was that I was watching. And so there was a little more work to be done in discovery, you know, but for me, like, that's what reeled me in. And so for me, that's sort of what's frustrating about this being Star Trek is that they're only doing it for... They're using Star Trek as leverage to get people to pay for this. Now, the thing that's funny is I've seen a picture going around now saying, you know, if CBS thinks they're going to charge me $6 a month for all access, they're crazy. I'm not paying, blah, blah, blah. You know, but it's this caption over a picture that's a giant wall of Star Trek merchandise. So, you know, all the figures and the games and the, you know, the books and the whole thing. Anyway, so... Like, I get what they're doing, but I wonder if they're going to crow about the numbers yet, because I have a feeling what some people are probably going to do is start is pay and watch the show and start reviewing it, you know, in some places. And then some fans are probably going to wait. And the thing is, they're going to lose a casual person like me who would have TiVo'd that so fast, never missed an episode, been excited to see it, been excited to come here and talk about it with you guys before we start recording. And I'm not going to pay for all access for one show.
I think you're onto something about waiting, because there's so much content out there that we've accustomed to queuing things up. And when you queue things up, you end up waiting until you can get to something. So
yeah, I think this
turned out to be a good strategy.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a nudge in maybe the free subscriptions in the next couple of weeks so people can watch 3 or 4 episodes at a time. But once the entire season of Discovery is out, because it's a short run, I want to say it's like 8 or 10 episodes. Once it's all out, I think that's when they're going to see the actual subscriptions. And what I'm curious about is if they will report actual subscriptions as opposed to like all the people who end up canceling because they're like, wait, I only wanted it for the week and then you charged me. I want my refund and I'm not using the app anymore. I'm curious what those numbers will look like, even though I know we probably won't see them.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we're out of time. My takeaway from this discussion is that we're not certain if this is a business model that's going to be as successful for this show and other shows as CBS is hoping.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the first 2 episodes. I really enjoyed them. And I'm going to cancel my subscription because I just really don't want to pay another $10 a month. I know it's only $10. Just don't go to Starbucks for 2 days and call it good. But, you know, it's the thing is, I'm already paying for so many other subscription things, both for entertainment and for apps that I use. I just don't want to spend another $10.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'll end up watching it later through some other means and maybe go to a friend's house, or maybe they'll get around to releasing it on iTunes and then I'll end up buying it. We'll see. So anyhow, like I said, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.